BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Many of us consider ourselves compassionate people who would try to help people we know however we could. A tiny amount of us will make the biggest sacrifices. Not just for friends, for strangers. Just to see them be happy. But when you give something away to create joy, what's the cost to yourself?
Listen, she's counting.
Linda is talking with Adane, aged 2.5, and her mum and dad, Mary Carmen and Alan. It might sound like a chat between Linda and her friend's daughter or her godchild. It isn't. Linda has a very special relationship with this little girl. She gave birth to her.
I'll never forget that feeling of seeing them hold her for the first time. Being able to give that to someone else, that first moment, that was amazing.
So you were on kind of a high, really?
Yeah, I was massively on a high because, yeah, you really feel like you've achieved something, you've accomplished something.
Linda went through what is called gestational surrogacy. She carried another couple's genetic child. In the UK, surrogates are not paid a wage, only their expenses. With Surrogacy UK, the organisation through which Linda met Mary Carmen and Alan, a key part of any surrogacy is forming a strong friendship first. This is important because once a baby is born, there will be no legal enforcement for a surrogate to hand over her child. There has to be huge trust. When Linda had Adane, this all went to plan. Linda was thrilled to help create a new family. She loved making someone else so happy. And that might have been the end of Linda's story.
At first I said, right, that's it. I've achieved my dream. You know, I absolutely don't want to do it again. And yeah, but then I met Nick and Carl.
Nick and Carl are a gay couple living in the Northeast who were looking for a surrogate. When they met Linda and her husband, Sean, they just clicked. Linda made an offer to become their surrogate.
I just know what fantastic parents Nick and Carl will be. They are so deserving of a child, and I know that child will be really loved. I really, really hope that I can make this dream a reality for them.
And this is The Untold.
Oh, so there was Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
I didn't even,
everyone was saying that there was Wi-Fi.
I didn't even search for Wi-Fi.
Well, there wasn't yet. Our attempt.
Yeah. You got your lunch?
Linda lives in a beautiful part of the Northeast. Her family includes a teenager, her husband Sean, and her stepdaughter. While Linda is a surrogate, her family are very much involved in the whole journey.
Well, the sacrifice is not really being pregnant. The sacrifice is the impact on your family. The sacrifice is the impact on your husband when you can't have sex, and when you're massive and uncomfortable, and when you need help putting your shoes on. Those are the people, to me, who are the heroes, because it's my dream, you know. It's not their dream. They've supported me to achieve my dream.
And soon, Nick and Carl became part of all their lives.
And Carl have got husky like that, haven't they?
Yeah,
two.
Well, yeah.
You know, we spent a lot of time together. They only live just over half an hour away, so it's really nice just to be able to go around for a cuppa and just sitting in front of a movie together and having a few drinks and, yeah, just spending time together and making that connection.
Talking about how it will work or...
No, not at all. Talking about music and movies and having drinks together and eating together and having fun.
And as time went on, Linda, Nick and Carl did have those in-depth conversations about a future pregnancy.
No couple, you know, when they conceive and go through all of those possibilities, but in a surrogacy situation, you have to. You have to go through all of the what-ifs well in advance. which is challenging. You know, what kind of tests would we have or not have? And I do have, I wouldn't say strong views, but fairly strong views, you know, that there are very few circumstances in which I would have a termination, for example. So it was important that they knew that from the outset. Unfortunately, you know, they felt in the same way as I did. So we were on, you know, we were on the same page about things. If that hadn't been, you know, if we hadn't been, that wouldn't have worked out. It wouldn't have been right. And we'd have stayed friends, I'm sure of that, because we're great friends. But a surrogacy relationship wouldn't have been right for us. But, you know, fortunately, we do have similar views in that sense. And so we kind of formalised that in an agreement. So Surrogacy UK coordinate an agreement session where you actually sign a form. And yeah, so we did that.
Although the document isn't legally binding, it gives a framework for going forward. So in December 2017, as a team, they made the decision to start trying for a baby. This surrogacy will be different for Linda, as she'll be using her own egg.
Meeting Nick and Carl, I knew that I could use my own egg because we'll be friends forever. So it feels natural that I would donate my egg to them. It's something that I'm not going to use, but it's something they need. So why wouldn't I do that? So we had our first cycle of trying to conceive, and I was pretty sure it hadn't worked. I'd bought some really, really early sensitive pregnancy tests, and they were coming out negative. So it was really difficult. And then, Christmas Day came along, and I just thought, before I drink loads of red wine, I should probably just double check. I don't know why. And then, yeah, it came up on the test, pregnant, 1 to 2 weeks. I was really shocked. I really didn't think it had worked, and it was just for belt and braces, I thought. So I came downstairs and told Sean, and I said, what do you think I should do? And he said, well, ring the guys, ring them straight away. You know, you've got to tell them it's the best news ever. So, you know, I rang them, and I just said, oh, will you put me on speakerphone? You know, I just want to say Merry Christmas. And I said, you're going to be daddies. And they just what? Yeah, I said, yeah, you're going to be daddies. And yeah, they couldn't believe it. So I'm about 10 weeks pregnant now. When I was about 6 weeks pregnant, we had an early scan. And yeah, I was really looking forward to that because I was really hoping we'd be able to see a heartbeat. So kind of got onto the bed, and the guy says we were sat on the sofa, and then Nick came over right next to me and just held my hand. And before it even came on the screen, they said, oh, we can see a little heartbeat. And I just burst into tears because I was just so relieved. You know, it's such a massive responsibility when it's someone else's baby, you know, that you get paranoid about the slightest thing, you know. So I was so relieved that they said that. And then we saw the little heart flickering away on the screen. And it was just amazing just to see their faces, you know.
At the end of February last year, Linda went for her 12-week scan. From now on, this is Linda's own diary.
Since my last update, we had the 12-week scan. It was brilliant to see Nick and Carl's faces, and I just spent most of the scan watching them rather than watching baby. But they were able to, after much jiggling around, to be able to get the measurement at the back of baby's neck, the nuchal fold measurement, which is one of those key things because it affects the risk for Downs and some of the other potential disorders. So they were able to get that measurement, and they told us it was less than 1 millimetre, so we were over the moon. Yeah, we were feeling good. And then the following week I got a call to say the blood that they'd taken that day, they didn't look right, and they must be contaminated. So off I went, to go and have them redone. And then I got a call on Friday around lunchtime. I was at work, and the midwife told me the bloods looked abnormal. I was really shocked because I genuinely felt everything was fine on the scan. Everything would be fine. We were in the clear. So it knocked me for six. She said that we had a 1 in 5 chance of either Edwards syndrome or Patau, and also a 1 in 5 chance of something called triploidy. I don't even know how to pronounce it. And then she went through the options available to find out more. But I didn't even know what that meant. What does 1 in 5 mean? So it was a huge shock. I was at work and I had actually booked a half day for that day, so I just gathered my things together and tried not to make eye contact with anyone or speak to anyone and just hold it together until I got out into the car park and was able to cry. And obviously this is the challenge with surrogacy, is that you then have to be the person to share that news with baby's parents. So I sent a message to Nick and Carl to see if they could both be together, to speak to them together. But Carl was really upbeat and positive and, you know, let's see what this means and we'll have a think about it. And we already knew that we'd agreed as a team we would avoid all invasive testing, we would have a blood test where we could. So we knew that. And so that's, you know, he was going to look into that and we were going to go from there. And the more we looked into it, the more we understood just how rare and serious a result like the one that we have received is, and that it's likely with those factors, although baby may not have Edwards or Patau or the triploidy, some kind of chromosome issue is likely. It could be anything from a mild learning disability to something very severe. We just don't know. But that night, I couldn't sleep, and I stayed up and did more research and thought about the worst case scenarios, the worst possible case. So we have to face the possibility that continuing with the pregnancy might not be the right thing. But then I've always felt that a termination is wrong and that I would want to avoid it at all costs.
Linda, Nick and Carl were given difficult choices. Although they'd agreed to have as little invasive testing as possible, a blood test alone wouldn't give them all the answers.
So with surrogacy, you know, you have an agreement, and thus our agreement said no invasive testing. But in that situation with the facts, you know, we came to that decision together that we wanted as much information as possible as early as possible. I'm scared. I'm scared about the procedure because I know it in itself it carries a risk of miscarriage. And I really just want to give the guys a big hug, and it's been horrible not seeing them, because we know that that is a possibility, that after going through all of this, and this is it with surrogacy, you set out to create a family, to do something wonderful, not for something bad to happen. But the reality is, it does. It has to. There has to be somebody who's in that percentage who's affected. We are now nearly 14 weeks. But this is where I've just got to be strong. And strong in that belief that if this has happened to me, then it's happened to me because I'm someone who can handle it. But I don't feel very strong today because I just want to... curl up in a ball and cry.
A few days later, Linda went for the test with Nick, Carl and her mum for support. Even so, it wasn't easy.
I just closed my eyes and I just tried to take myself out of the situation. I went scuba diving, doing something that I love doing, which is relaxing, you know, when I just thought about all the different fish I could see and the different corals, and that helped me take myself out of that situation. And then as I opened my eyes, I had one little tear in the corner of my eye, but I was proud of myself that I'd held it together. Yeah, we went into a little room afterwards, and then I did have
a little cry, and we all felt quite emotional. It was lovely to be able to have a hug with the guys and with my mum, and it was done, and I think we all felt better for that, to know that the procedure was done, we were going to have information.
But the procedure didn't provide the information they desperately needed, and a few days later we got a text saying, sadly, the test didn't work. 1 in 200 chance it won't work, and that's what's happened. We're back in on Thursday for another scan. So frustrated for all three of us.
It's Friday, the 23rd of March. So much has happened since the last update. It's hard to think of it all. We went back for another scan yesterday, and it was confirmed that baby isn't developing normally. It has a condition called holoprosencephaly, indicative of the chromosome conditions that we feared. We knew it was bad news from the moment the doctor walked in. But they spoke to us with dignity and respect, and I can't fault the staff. And they gave us the options, but they're not options, are they? The baby may well not make it through the pregnancy anyway. And even if it did, we were looking at a severe disability. We were just devastated. Just held each other and cried, and just the worst possible news. And it just seems so unfair. It's not anything that's hereditary. It's just one of those things, the unlucky few. But it makes me angry because I wanted to help create a family. I was trying to do something good. So today we've got a very hard journey to make to the hospital to go and take a pill that will stop the progesterone getting to baby. And then I'll be induced on Sunday. The guys want to come. They want to come. I said I'm only going to take a pill, you know, but they want to be there, and that means a lot. But it is their baby. It's right that they're there. It's right that they're through every horrible part of it. I feel sick. I can't eat. My head aches. My heart is just breaking for what might have been. It's like I'm grieving already.
So today I've had a nice walk, just about 10 minutes from my house into the countryside. I'm really lucky that I live near the countryside, so I'm just sitting by the river, and it feels like it's the first day of spring, finally. 29th of March, finally, we've got to the first day of spring. But it's the birds are singing, and it's a gorgeous day. All these signs of new life, you know, it's wonderful. But it's been a really hard time for us. It's where we left things last time. I was going to the hospital to take the tablet. The midwife did tell us that taking the tablet still meant you could continue with the pregnancy. You know, if you change your mind, it wasn't good to do that, but all it was doing was pausing the progesterone for a period of time, and that was a limited period of time. So I suppose it didn't feel that things were completely final, but we knew as a team between ourselves where things were going. So, you know, we just tried to enjoy the time together and make the best of it. We went to a garden centre nearby, and and went to buy a tree that the guys could plant in the garden, in their garden, to celebrate this little life. It meant so much to me that they made me part of that. Grief can be quite a personal thing, you know. But they've included me in everything. But then when I got up in the morning, I was feeling contractions. So, yeah, we got set up in the room. My mum met us there. And then Nick and Carl arrived. So these contractions were actually coming really quite thick and fast. And I was having to move around. And my mum was there with me. And the pain had gone. I said, Mum, the pain's gone. The pain's gone completely. And I felt baby. A new baby was there. Just waiting to be born. And so baby was born. And I was so happy that it had happened naturally. I hadn't needed any drugs. It hadn't been a termination. It was a miscarriage. And I don't know why that meant so much to me, but I think it was just knowing that nature had taken its course, you know. He was just so tiny. A little boy. But perfect. Perfect little fingers and toes but tiny. And, I said, I want to tell them. I didn't want anybody else to tell them. I was the person that had told them we were pregnant. I wanted to be the person to tell them. To tell them that it was over. So I went out and just held them both. Just shared that moment of absolute grief. And they said they were going to call him Alex. Such a lovely little name. And I'm glad he's got a name because he deserves it, you know. He deserves to have a name because he grew and we loved him and we love him and we looked after him. And it was a real comfort to me that they've chosen a name for him, for their little boy.
Complications after the birth meant Linda had to have an operation, but Nick and Carl were there again to support her. They later found out that their baby Alex had a chromosomal disorder called triploidy. It's not hereditary. So in the autumn of 2018, they decided to try again.
Deciding to try again wasn't about fixing a problem or making things better. It was just that we were working towards that goal and that goal was still there. The thought of not trying never entered my head. I can't imagine giving up.
So we're trying. I just wanted to work so badly.
Linda did get pregnant twice more. But both pregnancies ended in miscarriage. The last one on Christmas Eve. So after 17 months of friendship, Linda, Nick and Carl have a hard decision to make. The pressure of three losses was taking its toll.
So I was glad to welcome in 2019 after the heartbreak, the sadness of 2018. And, you know, with any new year comes that hope, that positivity that the year will bring better things. I sat down with Nick and Carl early in January and they told me that they decided that they didn't want to keep on trying. Which is really sad because I set out on this journey to help them
have a child and I've not been able to achieve that. So obviously I was sad, but I suppose I saw it coming to some extent. We had all been through so much. We have been through so much. And what they felt was that they wanted to keep the friendship that we had and trying again. If we had another loss, you know, could that result in resentment?
Nick and Carl were also concerned about Linda's health and the effect on her family.
I think part of me would have preferred to let fate decide. And maybe that would have felt a bit kinder if it was down to fate rather than their decision to end the team. But I understood their decision. And the friendship has always been the most important thing. And, you know, always for me, them being dads is more important than me being the person who makes them dads.
So this this box is for Alex, and it says Team Onesie on it. And Nick and Carl got me this new box, because I did have another box, just a cardboard one, but they got me this really nice one to commemorate a year after Alex's birth.
I'm Grace Dent, and you've been listening to The Untold.
Then we've got scam pictures. I really like that one.
Today's producer was Sarah Conkey.
Because you can really see his face in that one. I don't know whether I'll do another journey. I would like to be pregnant again, and I'd like to help a couple. I still have that desire. I honestly don't know. For me, I haven't felt that connection with another couple. After everything we went through with Alex, I'm probably more fussy about the right couple for me to help, particularly as I know that would be it, that would be the final journey. So maybe I'll never meet that couple, but maybe I will. This is a little hospital wristband that they gave us for Alex.
Nick and Carl are still friends with Linda, and they're still waiting to find a new surrogate.